former president and Ramos administration officials pay tribute to late President Fidel V. Ramos. We'll speak to former Senate President Franklin Drilon, who served as Justice Secretary during the Ramos administration. Nations also honoring Ramos's legacy and his contributions to improving the Philippines' diplomatic ties. The number of fresh COVID cases in the Philippines now at over 4,000. And President Marcos appoints Lieutenant General Bartolome Baccaro as head of the armed forces and Lieutenant General Rodolfo Azurin Jr. as chief of the Philippine National Police. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. We begin with the passing of the Philippines' 12th president, Fidel V. Ramos. He died Sunday at the age of 94. The country's present and former leaders leading the tributes for the late president. President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. condoles to the Ramos family, saying the country not only lost a good leader, but for him, a family member. Ramos is a second cousin of the president's father, Ferdinand Marcos Sr. Vice President Sara Duterte also mourning the death of Ramos as she looks back on his crucial role in bringing peace to Mindanao. Former President Rodrigo Duterte also saddened by the passing of Ramos. He described him as a great statesman, mentor, and friend. And former President Joseph Estrada, who was the country's vice president during Ramos' term, called his boss one of the most effective presidents in Philippine history. Well, tributes also pouring in from cabinet members of the Ramos administration. Joining us today is former Senate President Franklin Drilon. He served as Justice Secretary during the Ramos administration. Senator, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Nice to talk to you again.
Carmina, thank you for having me today.
All right, so I want to begin from the very beginning. You were on opposite ends, brought together by a revolution, and shortly after, the administration of former President Corazon Aquino. What made you trust him? Was that even a factor in forging and protecting the democracy that was just recently won?
Well, you know, we were not at opposite ends, Carmina. But indeed, we worked together in the cabinet of glory for 6 years, from 1987 or 86 to up to 1992. And he was my boss when he brought me in as Secretary of Justice in his administration, and we were working together when he was president and me in the Senate in 1995, and I owe my election to President Ramos. So it is in that context, Carmina, that I wish to join our countrymen in expressing our condolence to the family of the late president, Ming Ramos, and the children. Indeed, President Ramos was a statesman and a patriot, and we mourn the loss of a leader. And Carmina, on a personal note, President Ramos was my godfather, my nino, in my wedding 25 years ago with Mila and Nino, and President Ramos was joined by President Cory Aquino at that time, and both of them have now departed. And by the way, August 1 is the death anniversary of President Cory, and we remember her on this day.
Later on, we're going to talk more about him being a godfather to you. But first, you've seen a lot of presidents, Senator Drilon, come and go. But to you, what is the mark, the indelible mark that he leaves behind?
Well, first, he was a principal player in the EDSA Revolution, one. Number two, when in the administration of President Cory, he was steadfast. He never wavered in his support of the president, of President Cory, and his support for the democratic government and the democracy as our way of life. Third, he led the country as president in its economic recovery program. Remember that we were the sick man of Asia because of the problems brought about by the chaotic regime of the former of President Ferdinand Marcos. But he brought us again, brought our country economically on even keel. He was dubbed as the as somebody who would require, in my experience, when you work with him, the first thing he asked, is there a CSW here? And I have always wondered what CSW meant, because I was never with him in the armed forces. It says complete staff work, and that's how thorough he was. He was a workaholic, if I may say so. So we lost a statesman, we lost a patriot, I lost a Nino, and I'm confident that President Ramos will be judged well by our historians when the time comes.
Talk to us about his brand of politics, because it's uniquely his own. Talk to us about that.
His brand of politics, he is not a politician. And therefore, to him, politics is the governance of a country properly, using his political clout for the betterment of our country in general. He would really insist on certain principles in our Ladakh meetings, where he believes that a populist stand taken by us politicians will be to the detriment of the country. He would insist he would shoot it down. So that's the politician in him. To him, politics is what is good for the country and our people.
You said a while ago that he stood as your godfather in your wedding to Mila Genuino. What was the example and the guidance that he gave to you?
Well, he didn't ask me for complete staff work when I married Mila. He realized that in areas of love and marriage, you don't do complete staff work. You just dive into it. But I don't remember, honestly, I don't remember Carmina, I was already 52 or 53 at the time. So maybe he thought, I have done my complete staff work before I went into a second marriage.
Due diligence, check, and that was it. Senator, you were on different moments, periods during your political career. How would you describe your relationship, your political relationship with former President Ramos from when you were Justice Secretary until when you became a member of the Ladakh?
Okay, as Justice Secretary, I would follow his lead, I'd follow his policies, because I knew it was born out of his experience also as being involved in the law and order sector of our country. During those times, he gave the full support for the prosecution of those who have transgressed the law, because law and order in his book would be critical to the continuous confidence of our people in our democracy. I had absolutely no problem following his lead. Now, as Secretary of Justice, when I was a senator, there were a number of issues and debates where we did not, where we were not coming from the same ground. Example, he, if I recall correctly, subject to confirmation, He was in favor of the death penalty, imposition of the death penalty, because he believed that deterrence, that the death penalty would be a deterrence to unlawful activities. I held the opposite view because of our shortcomings in our justice system. Our imperfect justice system cannot stand with the death penalty in our book. So we had our disagreements there, but it was a disagreement based on principles. We also had, he was insisting that a national ID program be imposed even on those who are just born. I thought that will beat the system, and I had proposed that it be done on those who would be of coming to majority age. But let me emphasize, Carmina, that all these differences and all the debates were at the level of policy debates. Never did he come around to insult us. Never did he come around to say, prosecute this fellow. He never used his power for anything other than what in his judgment is the betterment of our country.
Conversely, though, and this is the final question, Senator Drilon, did you ever feel the need to protect former President Fidel V. Ramos when he faced a lot of issues during his presidency? When you talk about the Conference of East Timor, the Paya Amari deal, the Centennial Expo, did you feel that you had to be there to protect him?
Oh, okay. I will not pretend to have any extensive participation in foreign policy issues, but certainly I protected him in my own way in the investigations in the Senate when he was summoned as a former president to appear before the Blue Ribbon. I did my share in giving him the appropriate venue and giving him the environment that will give that will allow him the respect due him as a former head of state. So it is in that context that I, if you want to call it protection, I don't call it that way, but that was an episode in my political life.
Senator Drilon, I think the last time we spoke was during the passing of former President Noynoy Aquino, and now we're talking about the passing of former President Fidel V. Ramos on the anniversary of the passing of former President Cory Aquino. I wish we could talk during better times, and until then, thank you for joining us today. Take care
and
keep safe.
Thank you, Carmina, and thank you very much, and as you said, I hope we can talk in a better circumstance. But we have to pay our respect to our departed leaders who shaped our history. And I am sure, as I said, people like former President Ramos, former President Pinoy Aquino, former President Cory, they will be judged well by our historians.
Former Senate President Franklin Drilon, they're joining us this afternoon. Thanks again. Take care and keep safe.
Thank you, ma'am.
And moving on, unity, solidarity, and teamwork. Ramos's top economist says those were the values the late president fostered within his cabinet as they took on the tall order of steering the Philippine economy during the Asian financial crisis. Shelito Habito says Ramos also acknowledged the important role the private sector could play in improving the lives of Filipinos.
One of the trademarks of President Ramos was he was known for assembling summits. We call them summits at that time, big multisectoral meetings where the leaders of different sectors of society would come together. And that is what led to the social reform agenda. It is also what led to a lot of these reforms that include the privatization of water services, especially in Metro Manila. Philippines 2000, you mentioned to be the battle cry, the vision of President Ramos for the economy and for the whole Filipino society. And when we were asked to translate what that means in everyday terms, he would say, Well, it means that when people open their faucets, there will always be water coming up. It means that when people pick up a phone, and that everybody, almost everybody should have a phone, then there would be a dial tone.
Another cabinet official of the Ramos administration honors the late president, former Labor Secretary Silvestre Bello III, who served as Justice Secretary and Solicitor General under Ramos, says he will remember the Philippine leader as a hardworking and a punctual man. He also recalled how Ramos resolved conflicts through the so-called Bibingka strategy.
At 6 o'clock, maniwala ka sa akin, meron ka na matatanggap na newspaper item with clippings and then with this marginal note. Ganon ka, ano, magtatrabaho ang ating Pangulo. Ganon siya ka, ano, hardworking, and ang ganon din ang expectation na from the members of his cabinet. Yung Bibingka niya kasi when there is a problem, he said na para maayos mo yung problema, kailangan pakinggan mo ang both sides. So you put it on the top and put it on the bottom. Para sa ganoon, sabi niya, mapapag-meet mo yung dalawang conflicting position. Binigay sa'yo ang trabaho, binibigay sa'yo ang complete trust and confidence on how to solve the problem.
The Senate, led by Senate President Juan Miguel Zubiri, joins the nation in mourning the death of former President Ramos. Sherry Antores now joins us with that story. Sher, go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Carmina. This morning, Senate President Juan Miguel Zubiri has filed Resolution 72 expressing the profound sympathy and sincere condolences of the Senate of the Philippines on the death of former President Fidel Valdez Ramos, who led our country from year 1992 to 1998. Zubiri, who began his political career as a congressman year 1998 and ran under Ramos's founded party, Lakas NUCP, remembers the former chief executive as a gallant, dutiful, and dedicated soldier who fought in the Korean War and eventually ended as chief of the defunct Philippine Constabulary. As the Philippines' 12th president, Zubiri notes Ramos's legacies, which include the signing of the government's peace agreement with the Moro National Liberation Front in 1996 and the revival of the country's economy from its old image as the sick man of Asia to Asia's next tiger economy. Senate Majority Leader Joel Villanueva has also filed Resolution Number 73 expressing the same. Aside from Zubiri and Villanueva, other senators who are also expected to file a resolution honoring Ramos include Senate President Pro Tempore Loren Legarda and Senator Sherwin Gatchalian, Rafi Tulfo, Jingoy Estrada, and Ramon Bong Revilla Jr. This afternoon session, Carmina, is also expected to serve as the senator's venue to honor Ramos. And while many remember Ramos as an outstanding soldier and president, Senator Riz Ontiveros opts to pay tribute to the man who was one of the major figures of the 1986 People Power Revolution. Senator Francis Chis Escudero, whose father, Sani Escudero, served as the Agriculture Secretary of Ramos, describes the late president as a military hero, statesman, reformer, builder, and peacemaker. For Senator Aquilino Coco Pimentel III, meanwhile, FDR, as he is called by many, should be credited for the many reforms that he introduced in the country, and one of them is the BOT, or the Build, Operate, and Transfer Law, for various infrastructure projects. The late president should also be credited for solving the country's serious power problem and breaking up the telco monopoly, among others, says Senator Sani Angara. Senator Grispo also honors Ramos, who she says was a steadfast leader and a democracy icon. Meantime, Ramos's vice president from 1992 to 1998, former President Joseph Estrada, has also expressed his profound shock upon hearing the death of his former boss, who according to him was one of the most effective presidents of our country. The Senate complex, Carmina, is also expressing its mourning over the death of Ramos, as shown by the national flag, which is now placed on half-mast. Carmina?
Thanks a lot, Sherry Antores there, joining us on the line. Take care, Sher, and keep safe. Back here in the newsroom. Other former officials and cabinet members of the Ramos administration also paying tribute to the late leader. Former House Speaker Jose de Venecia cites Ramos's sterling military background and his heroism during the EDSA Revolution. De Venecia and Ramos, along with late Senator and Foreign Affairs Secretary Raul Manglapos, founded the Lakas NUCD-UMDP, which became, later on, Lakas CMD. Rafael Aluna III, who was Ramos's Interior Secretary, posted this photo on Facebook, saying he was at a loss for words. And former Finance Secretary Roberto de Ocampo described Ramos as the most respected Philippine president in the international community. Former Vice President Leni Robredo also paying tribute to Ramos. She recalls her late husband, Jesse Robredo, was a staunch supporter of Ramos and even became the president of the League of Cities during his presidency. She adds Ramos was very vocal about his support for her presidential candidacy in the May elections. Former Senator Panfilo Lacson said Ramos was his superior officer during his time as a soldier and policeman. He adds Ramos was the one who promoted him to lieutenant colonel at the age of 31 and who gave him his first star at the age of 45. Albay Representative Joey Salceda meanwhile described Ramos as a mentor and a model for his life in public service. He credits Ramos for having an almost instinctive understanding of the complex workings of the economy. Salceda adds, without Ramos, the country would not have been able to solidify the bedrock of investor confidence that allowed the economy to grow for decades. Political party Lakas CMD also mourning the death of its founder, former President Ramos. Lakas CMD President and House Speaker Martin Romualdez said they lost a great leader and a dear friend who served as a pillar of strength and an inspiration to all. He also called Ramos one of the great Filipino leaders who took good governance to heart. Senator Bong Revilla also sends his condolences to the family of the late president. He shared, it was Ramos who convinced him to join public service. In other news, more fissures and land sand boils discovered in Ilocos Sur following last week's deadly earthquake. Let's get more details now from our correspondent Adrian Ayalin. Adrian, go ahead.
Hi, Carmina. The team from the Philippine Institute of Volcanology and Seismology continues its inspection of geologic formations resulting from Wednesday's earthquake. And the latest that the team led by science research specialist Daniel Buhay found was at the River Delta at the boundary of Santa Catarina Town and Vigan City. There were three sand boils and some fissures which were already uncovered or partly erased because, again, it has been 5 days since Wednesday's earthquake. There were three sand boils in the vicinity, which is, again, a result of liquefaction or underground liquefaction. According to Buhay, it is important to record these formations so that they will have records which will be shared with other government agencies. And these information will be will come in handy or are very important in urban planning. In the meantime, a portion of the Vigan City Public Market was closed following the earthquake that we felt at 2:48 before 3 o'clock this morning. According to the Twitter account of the Philippine FEBOX, it was magnitude 5.2. It was a strong one. We felt it here in Vigan City, and following that, the portion of this public market was closed to the public, and the establishment, the stores had to be closed since this morning because of some cracks found after the quake. Carmina?
Thanks a lot. Adrian Ayalin there joining us on the line. Take care, Adrian, and keep safe. Back here in the newsroom, no major damage reported in the fire that broke out in the main office of the Commission on Elections in Manila Sunday night. Acting spokesperson John Rex Laudianco says all COMELEC servers and vaults are safe. He adds no employee was hurt.
Yung aming server room, ligtas po at hindi na damage ng kahit anong parte ng sunog o ng water po. Sa pa po, yung ating election results, alam ko po maraming agam-agam ang ating mga kababayan tungkol sa resulta ng eleksyon. Una po sa lahat, yung ating transmitted election results, yung COCs, pati na rin po yung election returns na tinransmit natin noong panahon ng halalan, lahat po ito ay makikita pa ninyo doon sa election results website. 2022 electionresults.comelec.gov.ph. Hindi po ito naapektuhan ng sunog at live po ito. Kahit po tignan ninyo ngayon sa website, makikita nyo po dito na nandun po ang resulta ng halalan. Pangalawang resulta, nandun din po sa aming main website, yung summary ng eleksyon. Wala pong pagbabago at hindi po naapektuhan ng sunog.
The fire broke out at the reception area on the 7th floor of the Palacio del Gobernador in Intramuros. An investigation is underway on what caused the fire, including the possible angle of arson. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, a look at how nations are honoring the legacy of late President Fidel V. Ramos. Dateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with us here on ANC. And we're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Tributes pour in for the late President Fidel V. Ramos. Nations also honoring Ramos's legacy and his contributions to improving the Philippines' diplomatic ties. The number of fresh COVID cases in the Philippines now at over 4,000. And President Marcos appoints Lieutenant General Bartolome Baccaro as head of the armed forces and Lieutenant General Rodolfo Azurin Jr. as chief of the Philippine National Police. He was fondly called Steady Eddie or Tabaco. The late President Fidel V. Ramos helped topple the Marcos dictatorship and steer the country to economic recovery. Here's a look back at his life and legacy.
Fidel Valdez Ramos, the country's 12th president, was a man of seeming contradictions. His presidency both exuded sternness and tenderness. A dedicated military man, he graduated from the U.S. Military Academy in West Point in 1950 and fought during the Korean and Vietnam Wars. His path would eventually take him to the helm of the Philippine Constabulary, the predecessor of the Philippine National Police, under his second cousin, former President Ferdinand Marcos. He was called a ruthless henchman as he commanded a security force that committed human rights abuses and arrested thousands of dissidents during martial law. Ramos insisted he was only enforcing law and order. But he would eventually turn his back on the dictator, becoming a key player in the people power revolt that would eventually lead to Marcos's downfall and the presidency of Corazon Aquino. Hailed as a hero of EDSA, Ramos would remain loyal to the ideals of people power as he thwarted several coup attempts as Armed Forces Chief and Secretary of National Defense, earning him the moniker Steady Eddie. He succeeded Aquino as the country's next leader in a narrowly contested election, becoming the first and only Protestant to be elected president of a predominantly Roman Catholic country. Though he won less than 24% of the vote in 1992, his approval ratings would grow steadily as the Philippines enjoyed dramatic economic growth and stability under his watch. Ramos fought right-wing, leftist, and Islamic rebels during his time in the military, but extended an olive branch to them during his presidency. His administration was best known for its Philippines 2000 program, which transformed the country from being the sick man of Asia to being cited as the region's next economic tiger. One of its key areas, energy and power generation, which allowed him to solve the power crisis he inherited from his predecessor in just 2 years. But his time in office was not without controversy. A Senate committee recommended Ramos's prosecution over the construction of the 9 billion peso Expo Pilipino in 1998. Investigative journalists claimed the project was used as a cover to raise campaign funds. But Ramos would eventually be cleared of the charges. It was also under his term that the controversial Peña Amari deal was approved, which involved billions worth of public lands along Manila Bay. Called the mother of all scams, the deal was declared illegal by the Supreme Court. Ramos saw how essential democracy and self-determination is. Yet he bowed to Indonesia and tried to prevent the first Asia-Pacific conference on East Timor from taking place in Manila. APCAT was instrumental in drawing global attention to East Timor's struggle for independence. Ramos-era policies and laws would also later be blamed for power shortages and the high cost of electricity. He has insisted the situation was only brought about by policies and laws implemented after he had already stepped down. Ramos remained a force in Philippine politics and was instrumental in convincing Rodrigo Duterte to run for the presidency in the 2016 elections. He was appointed special envoy to China, but resigned months later and criticized Duterte's performance in his first 100 days. In a statement, Malacanang says Ramos leaves behind a colorful legacy and a secure place in the country's history, one that stands for the pursuit and protection of democracy.
The Ramos family thanks the public for respecting their privacy during this most difficult time. They said they will soon announce the schedule of the former president's wake and funeral. Our deepest condolences. While the international community also paying tribute to the late president, China's ambassador to the Philippines says he was deeply saddened by the news. He said Ramos was well known in China for his contributions in improving ties between Manila and Beijing. Japan's envoy also extending condolences to the Philippines following the death of Ramos, saying his leadership will never be forgotten. For U.S. Ambassador to the Philippines, Mary Kay Carlson, she will always remember Ramos for his contributions to Manila and Washington's bilateral ties. As for the European Union, it calls Ramos a dedicated statesman and a friend of the bloc. And for Germany's ambassador to the Philippines, Ramos successfully advocated for stronger Philippine-Germany trade relations, deepening the partnership of the two nations. Historian Shao Chua, also looking back at the life of late President Ramos, he believes one of the positive qualities of Ramos was his openness to criticism, a trait, according to Chua, that should be emulated by other presidents.
Ramos was a communicator. He was able to make a lot of people understand why he's doing such things. And I guess that is the legacy of openness to criticism and respect for the media and the institutions of the academe, for example, in telling him the criticisms. I guess that's the example that other presidents should take.
Chua points out there were some moves during the Ramos administration that received their fair share of criticism, including the amnesty granted to coup plotters.
According to some of the critics, like Ruben Carranza, he was saying that added to the impunity because, again, you plot against the government, which is basically treason, but you only get push-ups. So, you know, people eventually repeated that kind of military adventurism, which, of course, all coup d'etats, especially if not supported by the people, and, you know, if you resort to violence, only, you know, hampers the economy.
And we're still following stories related to the quake that happened last week. More injuries due to that powerful Luzon quake are now being reported. Let's get more details from our correspondent Bianca Dava. Bianca, over to you.
Carmina, the number of individuals affected by the magnitude 7 earthquake that jolted Luzon last week is now over 380,000, according to the National Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Council. This is almost 70,000 higher than the recorded number on Sunday. In its latest situation report, the NDRMC said the number of deaths remain at 10, while the number of those injured has reached 394. The disaster agency reported that of the affected individuals, 3,781 individuals are staying in evacuation centers. The cost of damage on different infrastructure, such as roads, bridges, health facilities, government facilities, and schools in Cagayan Valley, Cordillera Administrative Region, and Ilocos Region, was estimated at around 704 million pesos. According to the NDRRMC, a total of 354 houses were totally destroyed by the earthquake, while 24,547 were partially damaged. Meanwhile, power in all 48 cities and municipalities that experienced power outage was already restored. Water in 3 out of 4 cities and municipalities that also experienced water supply interruption was also restored. As of 10 a.m., the FEVOX said it has recorded 2,042 total aftershocks, ranging from magnitude 1.4 to 5.1. FEVOX earlier warned that aftershocks may occur for several days and even up to weeks. Carmina?
Thanks a lot, Bianca Dava, there joining us live this noon. Thanks, Bianca. Take care and keep safe. Back here in the newsroom, President Marcos appoints new military and police leaders. He named Lieutenant General Bartolome Vicente Bacaro as the new Chief of Staff of the Armed Forces, replacing General Andres Centino. Bacaro previously served as the commander of the Southern Luzon Command. Back in 1991, he was awarded the Medal of Valor for his victory in an encounter with communist rebels in Isabela. Marcos has also named Lieutenant General Rodolfo Azurin Jr. as the next chief of the Philippine National Police. Azurin is currently the commander of the Northern Luzon Police Area. He will take the helm of the police from PNP officer in charge, Lieutenant General Vicente Dano. Meanwhile, Marcos has appointed longtime National Bureau of Investigation Assistant Director Medardo De Lemos as the new head of the agency. De Lemos has been with the NBI for more than 30 years. New Zealand's borders fully reopened to visitors from around the world for the first time since the pandemic forced them shut. Government also letting cruise ships and foreign recreational yachts dock at its ports. New Zealand's borders started reopening in February, but only for residents. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern hailed the final stage of the border opening, saying the country now joins the rest of the world in safely managing and living with the virus. The Philippines logged 4,159 new COVID-19 cases Sunday, the highest daily tally in over 5 months. This brings the number of active infections to more than 33,000. The country's weekly positivity rate also on the rise, but the health department says the country is still considered to be at low risk in terms of average daily attack rate and bed and intensive care unit utilization. It also assures the public it is strengthening its National Patient Navigation Center to control the rising number of non-COVID patients in hospitals.
Because we have started parang regular operations already again of our hospitals, then hindi lang po yung COVID cases, no, yung naggagamit ng hospital beds, but more importantly, there are other diseases.
A Filipino in Singapore has tested positive for monkeypox, according to Singapore's health ministry. The 31-year-old Filipino male was admitted to the Singapore General Hospital on July 24th and tested positive for the virus a day after. The patient is currently in stable condition. Health authorities in Singapore are still conducting contact tracing to identify and isolate the patient's closest contacts. The Philippine Health Department sees no connection between that case and the country's first local monkeypox case. The World Health Organization recently declared monkeypox a global health emergency. For an infectious diseases expert, raising awareness at the community level is crucial in fighting the spread of monkeypox. Dr. Ronjin Solante adds there is no evidence that shows monkeypox is sexually transmitted.
I think we need to be very careful in labeling it as that, because yes, it can also cause stigmatization and possible discrimination. You know that when you will be diagnosed with an STI or an STD, you will refrain from, you're not going to the clinic, you just keep it yourself because of the possible stigma. Mm-hmm. So we need to be careful with that, and we'll just have to advise that anybody would have this lesion, anybody can get the infection regardless of what risk group are you. And I think the important message there, anybody is at risk of this monkeypox.
We're going to take another break now. Still ahead, another round of oil price adjustments expected this week. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. More news. U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi leads a congressional delegation to the Asia-Pacific region. The six-member group lands in Singapore today and will have stops in Malaysia, South Korea, and Japan. In a statement, Pelosi says the delegation will hold high-level meetings to discuss shared interests, including security, economic growth, and democratic governance. The statement made no mention of whether the delegation would visit Taiwan. For weeks, U.S.-China tensions escalated over reports Pelosi may visit the self-ruled island, which China considers part of its territory. In the latest warning from Beijing, the Chinese Air Force says defending China's territory is a military's sacred mission. In business, Philippine factory activity falls in July amid a fresh contraction in new orders. The country's PMI dropped to 50.8 last month, still signaling expansion, but it's a sharp decline from June's 53.8 reading. S&P Global says the main drivers behind the lower headline figure were fresh contractions seen across both production levels and inflows of new business. It also noted inflationary pressures mounted further in July. One bright spot, though, business confidence is still strong, with companies hoping for gains in output in the next 12 months. As for the rest of the ASEAN region, Thailand recorded its second fastest production on record in July at 52.4. while factory activity in Vietnam dropped to 51.2 from 54 as output. New orders and make that employment all increased at weaker rates. The Philippine Central Bank sees inflation accelerating further in July. The BSP expects last month's consumer price index to hit the 5.6 to 6.4% range, driven by the continued increase in food prices and the peso's depreciation. But lower oil and power prices are likely to temper those inflationary pressures. Back in June, inflation in the Philippines hit a nearly four-year high of 6.1%. The Philippine Statistics Authority will announce the country's July inflation print Friday. Diesel and kerosene prices set for another rollback. A liter of diesel will be 60 centavos cheaper starting this Tuesday, while a liter of gasoline will cost 75 centavos less. But gasoline prices will go up by 75 centavos amid lingering volatility in the world oil market. Despite the recent rollbacks, a transport group says any move to lower fares of public utility vehicles would be premature. The Liga ng Transportacion at Operators sa Pilipinas says while it agrees that lower pump prices should result in lower fares, doing so at this time would only result in losses for the transport sector. A student-led project in Hawaii that aims to teach Philippine history and culture in schools has secured the nod of state lawmakers. Lalaine Ignao gives us the details.
These student leaders are making sure they're making a mark in the community, particularly when it comes to education. Hawaii's House and Senate recently passed a resolution asking the Department of Education, or DOE, to implement an elective social studies course on Filipino history, culture, and identity developed by a student-led group called the Filipino Curriculum Project. State legislators have asked the DOE to recruit and identify teachers who can teach the course.
Now that we've gotten at a legislative level, I think that's so important because policy or enacting like these type of things is truly what sets the change and make sure that it happens, it's implemented.
This group of high school and college students, guided by local Hawaii educators, have been working in the past year to create lesson plans and push for more Filipino representation in the classroom.
I'm doing this for the next generation of the Filipinos who, you know, who think that their Filipino heritage is not worth talking about, and like their roots, they think that it's not very important. So this is definitely for them.
The idea to create a Filipino-focused curriculum was initiated by high school junior Marissa Halagao when she noticed a lack of Filipino content in her class coursework at Punahou School.
So that was something that I wanted to change because having representation as a Filipino is so important for me because I believe that all students should be able to see themselves seen and being represented, and this is just really empowering for us as Filipinos to have our culture, our history, our heritage being represented in a classroom setting.
Lawmakers believe this curriculum will help improve the understanding of Filipinos as they make up a quarter of Hawaii's population.
It's not only for Filipino students, you know, this course is for anyone of any ethnicity who wants to learn about Filipino culture, or if you aren't going to take the course or aren't particularly interested in Filipino culture, we strongly advocate for representing yourself.
Four of Oahu's public high schools have pledged to use the curriculum in their classes. The Filipino Curriculum Project's course is expected to be implemented in the next few years. Lalaine Ignao, ABS-CBN News, Honolulu, Hawaii.
In sports, the basketball world is mourning the passing of NBA legend Bill Russell. He was 88. Russell had been ill for some time now and had not been seen recently in public. He was a five-time NBA MVP, and is known as the league's greatest champion, having led the Boston Celtics to 11 titles, 9 as a player and 2 as a head coach. The NBA, as well as the league's past and present stars, took to social media to honor Russell's legacy. And before we go, here's another look at how Philippine leaders are honoring the late President Fidel V. Ramos. His vice president, Joseph Estrada, says Ramos brought to the presidency a different view of how problems should be dealt with. For former Justice Secretary and Solicitor General Silvestre Berry III, he will remember Ramos as the president who generally advocated for peace. And former Socioeconomic Planning Secretary Shelito Habito lauds Ramos for bringing out the best in everyone. And we've also gotten word that the Supreme Court has ordered that the Philippine flag in all courthouses be flown at half-mast in honor of the late president. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.